Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, to Exodus chapter 20 for our Old Testament reading. Exodus chapter 20. As I mentioned earlier, we come today to the third commandment as we are working our way through Exodus chapter 20. We'll be reading verses 1 through 8 as we hear the first four commandments proclaimed to us from God himself. But our focus this morning will be on chapter 20 and verse 7. Chapter 20 and verse 7. Hear then God's holy word. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them to serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Having heard the word of the Lord, what is your response? Amen. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what do you think of God's name? What do you think of God's name? I remind myself of why you and I have even been given life, and particularly why those who are in Jesus Christ have been given new life, everlasting life. We have a beating heart and breathing lungs, and we are alive for no other reason than this, that we may love the Lord our God fully and worship him fully. Your friends may tell you differently. Your coworkers may smirk and laugh at this. Your relatives may think you are a fanatic, but this makes no difference. The infallible and unerring word of God declares whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. There's no higher duty that is placed upon you than this. There is no greater privilege that you and I have than to love God supremely and worship him exclusively. So what do you think of God's name? What do you think of the name of God? You, by the blood of the eternal Son of God, you have immediate access to the true and living God at the throne of grace in heaven. And as we worship in this hour, we join the very heavenly choirs above and sing praise to our God, placing the name of the Lord upon our lips. And so what do you think of the name of the Lord? We come to the third commandment today. The third commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. After all, what's in a name? What's in the name of the Lord? One way to understand what is in the name of the Lord is to understand it this way. God's name stands for who God is and reveals to you all that God stands for. God's name reveals who he is and reveals to you all that he stands for. God's name stands for God. And so a number of questions we want to ask of the third commandment today. We want to ask five questions of the third commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And God asks these questions. God asks these questions to you and to me today. The first question is this. Do you want to know who I am? Do you, personally, want to know who I am? Look to my name. Look to my and name. God, and here we can think of a number of the words in the original language which describe his name. God reveals himself in his name. Elohim. He is the strong and mighty one who instills awe and reverence. Elyon. He is the high and exalted one. He is God most high. Adonai, Lord. He is the ruler to whom everything is subject. He is master over all, including over you personally. You want to know who I am? God says. God asks. Look to my name. El Shaddai, I am the one who possesses all power, God Almighty in heaven and on earth. I am the source of all blessing and comfort for my people. Jehovah or Yahweh, I am the self-existent, self-sufficient, supreme sovereignty, and I am the savior of my sinful people. This is who I am. Elohim, Elyon, Adonai, El Shaddai, Jehovah. I am the Lord of hosts, Yahweh Sabaoth. God is the King of glory, surrounded by angelic hosts and armies. He rules in the interests of his people, and he receives glory from all his creatures. That's what Louis Berkhof said. Yes, he is the Lord of hosts. Behold your God. Do you want to know who I am? Look to my name. This is who I am. And the fullest revelation of who God is found in the full name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God has manifested himself in his name. Indeed, we are baptized into the singular name of the one true and living God, baptized into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is your God. And God asks you the question today. He asks it personally to each one here today. Do you want to know who I am? Look to my name. This is who I am. God asks a second question today to you. Do you want to know what I have done and what I promise yet to do? Do you want to know what I have done and promise yet to do? Well, if you do, look to my name. For it's in God's name that he reveals what he has done and what he has yet promised to do. Think about God's name in this regard. He is El Roy, the God who sees and has seen. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God, the Lord, who provides. He is the El Shaddai, God Almighty, in the face of all of our weakness. He is the Lord, my banner, who fights my enemies. He is wonderful, the Lord, our righteousness. Emmanuel, God with us, the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And all of these names speak about what God has done and promises yet to do. Think of the name of God's Son come in the flesh. His name is Jesus. Why? Well, that name means that he is Savior. He is the one who rescues his people from sin and misery and brings them to a place of complete safety and security forever. His name is Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One. He is anointed without measure in order to carry out his mission as the Messiah of God's people. He is the Lamb of God who gives his life for his people. He is the bread of life who feeds us so that we never hunger or thirst. He is the light of the world so that we do not walk in darkness but have the light of life. He is the door into the kingdom. He is the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. He is the resurrection and the life in the face of death itself. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one coming unto the Father except through Him. He is the true vine whom you must be grafted into if you are going to have life everlasting and abundance of joy. All of these names of God speak to what He does, what He has done, what He is doing, and what He promises yet to do. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Do you want to know, God asks, what I have done and what I promise yet to do? Look to my name. Look to my name. And so in God's name, He reveals who He is and what He has done and what He is yet to do. But this leads to a third question today. And the third question is this. Do you want to know what is wrong with this world? Do you want to know what is wrong with this world? Jesus taught us how to pray. In fact, we united both our voices and our hearts earlier, and we prayed what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer. And what is the first petition of the Lord's Prayer? Hallowed be your name. Cause your name to be regarded as holy, set apart from all sin and wickedness, and so revered and honored. Why did Jesus teach you and me to pray as our priority first petition that God's name would be hallowed? He taught us to pray that because God's name isn't hallowed. It is not regarded. It is not honored. It is not revered. And this is what is wrong with the world. This is what is wrong with the nations of the world. This is what is wrong with the families of the world. This is what is wrong with the individuals of the world. That God, whose name is glorious and awesome, that His name is not honored and acknowledged as such. But that His name is dismissed. His name is misused. He is disregarded in who He is and what He has done and what He has declared He shall do. Do you want to know what is wrong with this world? Look to my name and how it is dragged through the mud in this world which is broken with sin and is drowning in misery. This is what is wrong with the world. God's name is dishonored by the world He made. Think of what we read in the Gospel of John in the first chapter. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. His name is dishonored not only by the world which He made, but by our country, the United States of America, as God and His name is systematically eliminated from all public discourse. The name of the Lord is not honored, is not hallowed, is not acknowledged to be the great and awesome name which it is. God's name is dishonored by our co-workers, by our neighbors, when it is flippantly taken in vain, when it is used as a curse word instead of a word of praise. God's name is dishonored as there is no fear of God and His glorious and His awesome name. The name of the Lord proclaims that His love is lavish, His patience is abundance, His kindness is stunning, His holiness is pure, His power is immeasurable, His knowledge is without limit, His mercy is measureless. And yet this world disregards the name of the Lord, dishonors the name of the Lord, and treats it with contempt and treats it with malignity. And so, What is wrong with this world? God's name is not honored like it is, like it should be. The name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is indeed spit upon. It is a sobering thing that the world and our country and our co-workers and our neighbors dishonor the name of God. But God's name is most dishonored by His church, when His church forgets how great and awesome His name is. When you and I fail to honor who He is and what He has done for us. When you and I fail to seek Him where He may be found, where He has placed His name for salvation. For there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved except for the name of Jesus Christ. Sadly, God's name is most seriously dishonored when we fail to desire to know His great name and the genuine blessing which is found in His name. God's name is dishonored by His people when we are silent, when we should speak up, when we fail to proclaim His name to our unbelieving neighbors and co-workers, when we fail to stand up for the name of the Lord when He is dishonored and His name is taken in vain. God's name is dishonored by our lack of trust in His name, by our flippancy in our use of His name, by our allurement to find joy and delight in the entertainments of the world which profane His name. God's name is dishonored by those who should know better. Oh yes, the church, you and I, are the ones who most seriously take God's name in vain. We know better. And it is a sobering truth that we do not love His name like we should, and we do not live bearing His name like we should. Each one of us, I already made mention of it, has been baptized into the name of the one true and living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now it may be there are a few here who have never been baptized, but the vast majority of you have been. And you've given up your name and taken His name upon you. And when you walk in an inconsistent manner with the grace of God and His mercy and the name of the Lord, you drag His name through the mud. Oh, we dishonor God's name by loving our names more than His name, by defending our names more than defending His name. Oh, it's easy to promote our own names, defend our own names, love our own names, and forget all about God's name. And God has a very strong word to His people when He says, "My name is blasphemed among the nations because of you." It's a sobering thought. And we as the people of God are masters at trivializing the name of God. But if we want to know what is wrong with the world, we need to look to the Lord's name. We need to look to the Lord's name. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes His name in vain. But this leads to a fourth question today. Not only do you want to know who I am, not only do you want to know what I have done and promise yet to do, not only do you want to know what is wrong with this world, fourthly, do you want to know how you may return to me? Do you want to know how you may return to me? Well, God says, look to my name. Look to my name. It's in Exodus chapter 34. We get ahead of the story a bit, where God proclaims the fullness of his name to Moses. It's not the fullness of God's name, as I already said. That is reserved for the revelation of God's triune name in the New Testament. But in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 5, listen to what we hear, what God says to us. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with Moses there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. Here is the revelation of God's name, who he is, what he's done, what he promises to do. And even as we hear God proclaim the fullest expression of his name in the Old Testament before the coming of Jesus, we are, I hope, sensitive to how that name has been dishonored. But there's a tension in the name. What's the tension in God's name? The tension is found right here in verse 7 of Exodus chapter 34. The tension is this: keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty. How does that work? A forgiving God who will by no means clear the guilty. A righteous judge who forgives abundantly, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty. We wonder, how do we return to the Lord? Recognizing that we are complicit in the dishonoring of God's name, the taking of God's name in vain, the reducing of God's name, the making it small in might. How do we return? Well, we come to the name and we hear that he is a God who keeps mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. But we also hear that in his name he will not clear the guilty. There's a tension. Attention in the very name of the Lord. Attention which begs to be resolved. How can a just God forgive sin? How can a merciful God judge sinners and cast them into hell? There's a tension in the name. But it's this very tension, which we might say is the thread which goes throughout all of Scripture. The soul that sins shall die. The wages of sin is death. And the tension is only resolved in the coming of the one whose name is above every name. Jesus, Lord of lords and King of kings. God forgiving, God being just and punishing all iniquity. How can it be resolved? It's right there in the name of God. And yet God in Jesus Christ brings both mercy and justice together in the name of Jesus. As Jesus, the eternal Son of God, takes to himself a true human nature to pay for the sins of his people, that God's righteous judgment would be satisfied, and that God's abundant mercy would be applied. And it's right here in the name. How can I return back to the Lord God says, look to my name. The very tension in my name is longing to be resolved in Jesus Christ, where there is perfect forgiveness and perfect justice, all being proclaimed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our call to worship today was from the very lips of Jesus after he had been triumphantly raised from the dead, after having paid for the sins of his people. And in Luke chapter 24, listen to what Jesus said to his church, to his people whom he had paid the ultimate price for. He had said this in Luke chapter 24 and verse 46, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer. Why was it necessary? Because there could be no forgiveness of your sins apart from the sufferings of the Savior. Thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Why was it necessary for him to rise? To show that the full price had been paid. Paid in full. The Lord Jesus Christ, having paid for all of your sins, rises as the vindicated one to proclaim to you, it is finished. The price is paid in full. But Jesus goes on, he says, thus it was written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached on the basis of his name. Here is the good news of the gospel. As the very tension which is found in the name of God is resolved. And that on the basis of the name of Jesus, repentance and the forgiveness of sin should be preached to all nations. Even to those who reside in this nation. But Jesus says specifically that this preaching on the basis of his name, that there is repentance and forgiveness of sin to those who have blasphemed his name. Jesus says that that preaching is to begin in Jerusalem. To all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now that should cause you to pause. That should cause you to think. That should cause you to wonder, can it be forgiveness for Christ killers? Forgiveness for blasphemers? Forgiveness for those who insulted and spit upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Beginning at Jerusalem. If there is mercy and forgiveness for Jerusalem sinners, then surely there must be mercy and forgiveness for sinners like you and me. We who have taken God's name in vain, who have not upheld his name, who have not honored his name, but in the name of Jesus, that name which is above every name, that name at which every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. In his name, there is salvation. There is a way back to the Father through the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, do you want to know who I am? God asks. Do you want to know what I have done and promise yet to do? Do you want to know what is wrong with this world? Do you want to know how you may return back to me? Look to my name. Look to my name. But there's one last question which God asks you and me today. And it is this question. Do you want to know how to honor me? Look to my name. Look to my name. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Do you want to know how to honor me? Pray the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name. Pray it from the heart. Have your heart tuned because of his grace to long for God's name to be hallowed, regarded as holy, revered as awesome, starting first with you, with those around you, and even to the ends of the earth. God says, do you want to know how to honor me? Think much upon my name. Think much upon my name. What you think of my name tells me what you think of me. Here is a convicting word to those who never think on the name of the Lord. Except maybe for an hour on Sunday. But God says, you want to honor me? Think much upon my name. Call much upon my name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call much upon my name in believing prayer. Speak much of my name. Now it's interesting. Orthodox Jews of our day, they never speak the name Jehovah, Yahweh. And they think thereby that they're protected from breaking the third commandment. For God says, you shall not take the name of the Lord, Yahweh, your God, in vain. So they figured out how to never break that commandment. We'll just never speak the name. Then we cannot in any way ever take it in vain. Treat it flippantly. Treat it lightly. But is that what God wants? That his name would never be spoken? The biblical record speaks otherwise. Over 7,000 times in the Old Testament alone do you find the word Jehovah. God delights to speak his name, and he delights for you to speak his name, to proclaim his name to others, to proclaim his name to yourself, to be one who bears his name as a witness before the world and to the world. Speak much of my name. Oh, yes. Here God would call upon us to pray in his name, to praise his name, to love his name, to glory in the name, to boast in his name, to fear his name, to run to his name, to trust in his name, and to bear his name. Oh, outbursts of holy joy in his name should be that which describes you and me. This is honoring the Lord's name. Having a tender love for his name. Sensitive to the honor of the Lord who has loved you and has bought you with a price. Loving his name as precious. Longing that men would love his name as you do. Revering his name as that which is most valuable. And it is for the sake of the name of the Lord that we honor his name. For your name's sake, O Lord, do what you have said. Fulfill your promises. Answer our prayers. Jesus calls upon us to pray in his name. And it is for the sake of the name of the Lord that he saves a people. He saves you from sin and misery. That his name would be honored and magnified, loved and adored, and that you would rejoice in the name of the Lord. So what's in a name? What's in a name? As I said at the beginning, The name of God stands for God and reveals to us all that God stands for. The name of God stands for God and reveals to us all that God stands for. Will we, who have been made and remade in Jesus Christ to worship God, revere His name? That's the question. That's the question. And God places His name upon your lips today. And as you depart, He places it upon your heads in the benediction, the good word which He speaks over you, His people, as you go forth into the world to proclaim the honorable name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, we are often quick to call upon You. And we are quick because we don't always consider carefully what we are doing. We're quick in calling upon You and quick in going about our own thing. But Lord, we come today to honor Your name, to recognize that You, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that You are the awesome God who shows mercy unto thousands, forgiving iniquity and sin, and who will by no means clear the guilty. And yet in Christ, the riddle is solved. And so we come to honor You today, to worship You, to love You, to repent of our foolishness, and to find forgiveness in Jesus Christ, in His name alone, and to be those who are spurred on to adore Your name and proclaim Your name to others. We thank You that You are the only God. There is no other. We thank You that You have made a way for us to draw near to You safely, and that You, O Lord, have so turned our hearts to not disregard Your name, but to trust in Your name. Make that a reality for all of us today, we ask. In the name of Jesus, amen.